You're listening to The Front Row. I'm St. John Flynn. The current production at Houston's Main Street Theatre is, in fact, a world premiere. Driftwood is a gripping drama by US-born, London-based playwright Lance Traverse that focuses on the internal dynamics of a family of wheat farmers who struggle to make ends meet in Oklahoma's Dust Bowl during the years of the Great Depression, the drought, through World War II, and on into the mid-50s. Already in financial difficulty, the clan's social fabric is further rent by the greed of the lone son, who responds to the privileged child status that has been conferred on him by his parents by taking not only what is his, but also what little the other members of the family can still claim as their own. KUHF's Bob Stevenson spoke with Lance Traverse and with the Main Street Theatre's Rebecca Green-Udden.
Rebecca Udden and Lance Traverse, thanks for talking with us today on our program, The Front Row.
Glad to be here.
You're welcome.
Lance Traverse, you've spent several years of your life in London. You've
yes.
been there, what, 20 years or something like that?
No, about 46.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yes.
46 years.
Yes.
But you are an American by birth.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
yes.
You actually... Did your family live in Oklahoma for a while?
Yes. Well, my grandparents were born and raised there. My parents born and raised there. I was born in the East, and my mother and I moved back when I was just before high school. So I had my high school years in Oklahoma.
Okay.
But I spent summers in Oklahoma with my grandparents.
All right. So the play is set in rural Oklahoma.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
As we said, between the years 1933 and 1954, and it mm-hmm. follows the... dwindling fortunes, it would
yes.
seem,
yes.
of the central family.
Mm-hmm.
How much of your family is wrapped up in this story?
Just my grandfather and grandmother, and not much of it. The main thing was just that my grandfather did actually race in the Great Land Run, Oklahoma Land Run.
Okay.
In 1889. He was a six-year-old, and he sat up there on the buckboard aside his father, and they raced and they staked 160 acres in Alfalfa County, Oklahoma. And that was the farm that I went to stay on for 2 years between the ages of 2 and 4 when my parents were getting a divorce. And then I would go back to visit in the summers. And so Driftwood, yeah, was my home, really, even though I grew up in Philly. I mean, it's funny how that sort of sticks there somehow.
So... we find in the play this central family living on this farm in rural Oklahoma, which was acquired by an earlier generation of
That's
the family
right.
taking
That's
part
right.
in the great land race that you
That's
just spoke
right.
of.
Yes.
Things are not going well. It's become the Dust Bowl.
That's
and
right.
The farm's not producing what it used to. And over the course of the 20 years of this play, we kind of watch the... fortunes of the farm and the family deteriorate as time progresses. Things get tougher and tougher, and it's hardest, of course, upon the parents of the current generation of the family, Orville and Alice,
yes.
who kind of bear the responsibility for all this, and it falls very heavily upon the father, Orville,
yes.
who... looks beaten down from the very beginning of the play.
Well, yeah, because the beginning of the play is set in the present, and then we go back to the past, and
yes.
we see how he gets to that point in his life. But the land does mean so much to him. He takes such pride in it and respects the land so much. He has this, and the play is about respect for family and for the land, both, and the loss of...
And great losses.
Of great loves.
Yes. In addition to the mother and father, Orville and Alice, we have the three children who are...
teens to early 20s,
right.
up to 40s.
Right.
Yes.
So we have the rebellious daughter, Evelyn, and the kind of domestic stay-at-home daughter,
Optimistic,
Bernice.
Fresh, yes.
Right, right.
Bernice.
And then there's the young son of the family.
Yes.
Crowther.
Yes.
Eventually cheats both of his sisters out of their rights to the inheritance. He buys from them at moments of incredible need on the part of the two girls.
Yes.
Their share of the family farm, which one assumes they each are going to get a share
yes.
of when their parents pass on. And then, as we've said, eventually the family loses the farm, and the son himself is the one who leads through his actions to this occurrence, because he demands payment from his parents at a certain point of all the medical treatment that he's been giving the family, a lot of it unsolicited,
yes.
over the
yes.
previous 20 years.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he presents them with this multi-page bill. If there's any question, I think, that may not quite be entirely resolved mm-hmm. in the viewer's mind when all is said and done, is what motivates this young man? Why has he turned out to be such a nasty person?
It's just greed, really, and need. I mean, you know, he takes to the bottle a bit, and
more than a bit, a couple
yes.
of times, yes.
And he makes bad decisions. He's married a very greedy wife who demands mm-hmm. a lot out of him. He makes mistakes as a doctor, serious mistakes.
In fact, there's a serious threat
and
of a malpractice suit.
He's got a malpractice
suit.
He yes. has to fork out a lot of money to pay off the patient. And he wants more. And you see, and at the end of the play, they're referring to the clinic. And they say, well, the clinic is you. And I just had it in my mind that he runs the whole clinic. He is the clinic.
Right.
It's the Crowther Bunyan Clinic, you know.
Right.
He's bought that
him.
As well.
Yes.
So he wants the money and he wants more. And I think when greed gets hold of you, some people just, they do bad things. And he does.
Yes.
But he has the lines. It starts off in the first past scene where they're playing a game of poker, and then I just wanted that to resonate at the end, that he thinks his father's bluffing, and he thinks he can call his father's bluff and he can just get the farm for himself, but his father mm-hmm. won't play that game.
His father stands up to him.
Yeah.
There's that. It's almost like another little mini theme of this question of calling someone's bluff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And gambling,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, penny ante, poker, or the family's entire livelihood.
Yes.
Well, and
in fact, yeah, I'm
and
sorry,
farming is the. I mean,
is
farming
a
is a gigantic gamble.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's the biggest gambling way to make a living I can think
yeah,
of.
Yes, and I do remember that. My mm-hmm. grandfather,
yes.
he,
yes.
I, as a young child, I can remember him weeping on my mm-hmm. shoulder. I was this little girl. And him just in the armchair there, just crying because he'd had yet another year of drought.
Yes.
And you know, he thought he was going to have a great harvest that year, and then week after week after week of drought. And
all the work and all the waiting.
The wheat went.
And
mm-hmm. yeah.
nothing you can do
no.
can make it happen
no.
if the rain doesn't come.
That's yep. right.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned before the father's identification with the land and the importance of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we get very clearly from Orville is his insistence that a good person, a responsible, respectable person, plays the game by the rules.
Yes.
He cites this sort of philosophy of life
yeah.
Several times.
Yes.
Again, when all is said and done, you're not sure that the guy who played by the rules didn't end up losing here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it's
you can say
as
that.
As you kind of mm-hmm. mull over what's happened here, I don't know.
Well, I mean, Evelyn has the speech, you know, about her little girl. You know, the little girl asks the question, you know, Mommy, it's not fair. And she says, whatever gave you the idea that life is fair?
Life is fair.
You
yeah.
know, and it isn't. But as Becky said, we've had a rethink about the ending, and mm-hmm. it's more upbeat in that he does have his two daughters, and they're steadfast and loyal and stick by him.
And
his wife.
In fact, the mother and father are, having now lost the farm, are going to go to Memphis.
Yes, and they'll
live with the one daughter.
And they've got the grandchildren.
And the grandchildren are there.
They'll survive. They will.
So there is at least that much hope that the majority of the family,
and also,
aside from the black sheep, is still hanging together.
There's also Orville kind of planted this. He in a sort of classical way, he planted the seed of his own destruction early in the game.
Tell us about that.
When he said all of the family resources are going to give this one the medical education.
Yes.
You know? So he's the one who said, you, son, are the anointed one. So he's the one who said, you know, all of the family's resources are going to you. So this kid, you know, grows up to think, all, you know, everything belongs to
entitlement
me. I am entitled to all of this.
The world knows him.
And the fact that the father dismissed the contributions of his daughters or the potential contribution of his daughters, I mean, this was his flaw, is that he did not value their minds or Evelyn's. Certainly Bernice would have been very happy to be a farmer's wife.
Right.
But Evelyn had, she had ambition. She had a sharp brain. She was just as smart as her brother. And by picking one over the other, you know, he set in motion his own destruction. If you want to take a kind of classical look at this.
Yes,
you're right. He did. And there are signs throughout the play that, you know, and even Crowther says to his father, you know, well, you haven't helped, you know, that Evelyn is in this state.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, playwright Lance Travers and producer, director, founder of Main Street Theater, Rebecca Green Udden, thank you both for talking with us on the Front Row.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Main Street Theater presents the world premiere production of Miss Travers' play Driftwood. There are evening performances Thursdays through Saturdays and Sunday matinees through April 25th at the company's Rice Village facility on Times Boulevard. Tickets can be ordered on the phone at 713-524-6706 or online, and there's a link to the Main Street Theatre and to an extended version of Bob Stevenson's conversation with Rebecca Green Udden and Lance Travers at kuhf.org/thefrontrow.